This is the last part of the Great Commission series, and our last principle in the kingdom will be covering expansion. And expansion is actually kind of interesting, because if you go and try and find it in the Bible, you're not going to find it often. My NIV shows up twice. But it's there. It's very present. And you have to actually study, which was pretty interesting in men's, because we were talking about looking and seeking God and meditating more on Scripture so you can get those deeper meanings and what God's trying to reveal to you. And expanding the kingdom is actually one of those very deeper meanings that you have to actually dig deeper in the Scriptures to figure out and to see. And God is awesome because He reveals it to those who actually go and seek it out. So it's not something that you're going to just stumble across or you're going to just jump into. Even though today I'm giving everybody a fair assessment teaching on how to get it and how to find it, and even scriptural areas where you can see it, you still have to actually put it into practice. And that's something that takes more time and more preparation and more work, and all those other principles being implemented into your life. It's one on top of the other, line upon line, precept upon precept, here, there, here a little, there a little. Okay? So, what we're getting into, okay, and where we're heading, is this is a battle. And without expansion, we will lose. Can we agree to this? If we do not expand the kingdom of God, what kingdom will take over? The kingdom of darkness. Is the kingdom of darkness ever present and working to take over this world? Yes, it is. All the more reason we should be diligent to fight back. But we don't fight back by just swinging a sword around in the air and banging our shields and screaming and yelling and hollering and doing all kinds of weird dances. That doesn't make the enemy retreat. The enemy's never going to retreat. He's not going to run away. I'm telling you right now. He's not going to run away. Because his motivation and his goals come from a defeated stance. He already knows he's defeated. He knows he's lost. There's nothing for him to gain except for to take as much away from God as he possibly can before the time runs out. That's his only goal. How much land can he take away from God before time's out? That's his only motivation. He has no other motivation. So he's never going to stop. He's not going to retreat. He's not going to run away. Why do we retreat? Why do we run away? Why are we afraid to expand the kingdom of God? That's what we really need to see today. Because this last principle is hopefully going to open everybody's eyes to the importance of getting our lives in order. Getting this whole set of principles in active walking order in our life. So that we are actively doing this. We're actively listening. We're actively loving the things that God loves. We're actively doing what? What's after love? Test. Come on. Build. After that, we had to maintain that which we built. We're responsible to continue this process, not just in us individually, but into those who we are discipling. Because after all, the Great Commission doesn't say, do it for yourself. It says, go and make disciples. The discipling process is how we expand. The Great Commission is an expansion process. If you make a disciple, that disciple will go and make other disciples. That's multiplication, folks. So if we're multiplying one area, that's great. But what are you doing if you just stay put? Well, yesterday we had a big talk about that with men's and not relaying those same foundations. Because all you're doing is you're just staying put. You're not expanding. You're not multiplying and then spreading out. Expanding actually requires us to stretch out. So what's the definition of expand actually mean? Well, it says to increase in extent, size, volume, scope, to spread or stretch out. That is a very important understanding of this definition. That's a lot. There's a lot of different, you know, synonyms in there and what it actually means. But what it actually means is you cannot stay here. You can't stay here. You have to go out. Great Commission says, go. And preach the good news to where? To New Jersey? To Sicklerville? To Williamstown? To all nations? I think that's what it said, right? All nations? So that means not just the United States of America. That doesn't just mean New Jersey. That doesn't mean Canada. That doesn't mean North America. That means South America, Antarctica. That means, if there are people there, you know, that means wherever you can find a living soul who has not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, you go there. That's what it says. That's not my words. That's his words. Because that's how we expand. That's the only way we expand. But when we dig in the scriptures and we try to find those deeper things that God's saying, like, I mean, we can see the Great Commission and he's telling us to grow and preach the good news to all nations. We go, okay, well, God, how's that look? What do we do? How does that happen? And we spent this whole series going, well, what did Christ actually preach? What did he teach us? Well, he taught us the kingdom, right? That's what we've been going through. All these principles. Everything is about what he's expressing to us in the kingdom so that we can implement it into us and live it in front of those who do not understand. Because after they see, they too will believe and they will want to have that which is in front of them. And they will become your disciple. So you can train them in the things that they need to do and the way they should go. And then they will go and do the same. But those principles have to be active. We have to be doing this. So, where is this at then? Where can we actually find it? Well, Jesus actually did a wonderful teaching, and you can go to any of the Gospels, but, well, I'm going to pick on the one that I actually love the most, which is Matt. So we'll go to Matthew 13. And Jesus, at this point, decides that he is going to teach the disciples about the kingdom. Starting at 11, he actually opens, you read that in your top of your Bible, it says Jesus teaches about the kingdom. But everything he teaches the disciples is not, well, this is what the kingdom of God is, and this is how to do it. He didn't give clear instruction. They followed him into the masses of the crowds of people, and Jesus stood up, and he gave them a parable. Now, not only does the parable fulfill the prophecy, but the parable, as he clearly stated to the disciples, is not for those people, but for you, for the disciples. He told them explicitly, this is for you. I'm giving these to you. The masses heard a wonderful story, but the disciples should have heard something more. And that something more was, this is how to expand my kingdom. This is how to grow. After I'm gone, this is what has to go on. This is what has to happen. And so the parable that I'm going to pull from is one that I was telling Pastor and Dan in the office this morning, that I've read this because this was the first book that I ever read. Nobody told me, oh, go to John first. Read John first. You know, after I got saved. They didn't say that. They just said, here. And I said, oh, okay. New Testament. Oh, okay. First book of the New Testament. Well, that's Matt. So that's where I started. And but I'm blessed because I have a real appreciation for what God says in Matthew. But I've read it and I've read it and I've read these parables before. And even in reading them third, fourth, fifth time, I don't remember the count, I even got zinged. And I'm like, oh, God, you're so awesome. I missed that. How did I miss that? I don't know. But it doesn't matter. I got something from it. And that something is very important. Hopefully today we'll understand. So starting at verse 18 going through to 23. Sorry, I know that means some of us have to turn another page. This is a parable of the four soils. And Jesus told this parable of the four soils and the sower throwing the seed out, and it hits the rocks and it hits fertile soil and it hits into this, into the weeds and the thorns and thickets and, you know, and all this stuff. And then Jesus comes back after and he again explains this parable to the disciples. But there's something very key and crucial that we have to read and understand. So what is this he's saying? First he says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This seed sown along the path, the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places, is the man who hears the word and once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When the trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. If we go back to the beginning when Jesus tells the disciples, he says, the kingdom of God is like the seed, the sower. And this is what I got out of it. This was my revelation of this. I've read this over and over again, and I read this afterward. And I hear him, and he's talking about them receiving the seed that was sown, and receiving the kingdom, and receiving it. I'm thinking, man, this is really cool, but that's not, the seed's not the kingdom. The seed is not the kingdom. The sower is. Who's the sower? Christ is the sower. Where's Christ dwell? In us. So, who's the sower? We are. We are to sow the seeds. And here we're getting told that when you do, don't lose heart. Some people, when you throw that seed out, are not going to respond the way you think they are. They might act like they got it together. They might think they have it together even. But time will show. But the importance is that there is a seed that will be sown. And when it is planted and it grows, it will yield a crop. So the kingdom is expansion, because what happens here when we sow, what are we sowing? The word of God. We're telling them about the kingdom. We're sowing exactly what Christ told us to do. Preaching the good news. Telling them that, guess what? God died for you. He died for you so that you could have eternal life and you could have all these wonderful things. But that's not the end all be all. The end all be all is that you learn how to give this to somebody else. That's what the kingdom's about. That's the expansion. Don't give them just the, oh, this is the good feeling message of Jesus Christ. No, you're making a disciple. That's just the foundation. Christ is the foundation. We got to get them to build. We got to get them to maintain that which was built. We need them to go and expand it. We need to give them the parable of the sower, not the seed. The sower is what we want. We're not trying to create a harvest of just one here, one here, one here, one here, one here. One grows, one grows, one grows, one grows. No! You plant one. It grows. Guess what? Then its seed's going to spread. Come back next year, there should be 50. Let them all grow. Come back next year, now you'll have a field that takes over your whole land. Come back next year, now it's taken over half of the state. Come back next year, now it's taken up the whole state. Come back next year, now it's got Delaware and Pennsylvania. Why? Because the seed is not what it is. It's the sowing of that seed. It's the sower. And we sow to the field. We sow to the field, which is God's field. And we're God's field. So all this comes together to show us that the expansion, this parable that God is giving to us, that Jesus is speaking to us, is telling us that guess what? Crops, harvest, growth, expansion. Crops don't just grow here and then never spread. But guess what else does? That's right. So we go to the next one. Go to 37 and 43. And this is him explaining now the parable of the weeds. harvest comes, there's great crop, he sowed all this good seed. And then while they were sleeping, the evil one came in and sowed this bad seed. And then the harvest came up, they grew together. And now there were all these weeds within the wheats. And Jesus explains this one. He says, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Again, the parable was for who? The disciples. Who are the disciples? Where are the disciples? This parable is just as much as it was for the disciples that Jesus had by his side as they are for us today. And so therefore, we have another principle that's being, another expansion principle that's being revealed to us. And how is it being revealed? That guess what? When the crop yields and it shows itself up, there's going to be weeds in there. That means, guess what? If we look around in this small area that we have, I have a good question to ask you. Are you a crop or are you a weed? Think about it. Think about it. Because that's an important question to know the answer to. Because there's one really, really, really important fact that he points out here. Expansion has to happen now. We cannot wait. We cannot take our time. We cannot sit here on our laurels and go about our business and think every day is our day. We have to do our business. I have to take care of my kids. I have to do my job. I have to work. I have to clean the dishes. I have to vacuum the floor. I have all this stuff. Guess what? We had a bunch of people come up today and share the word. And guess what? The word should convict some of us, because that is the lifestyle that some of us lead. But there's a time limit. There is a time limit. There is an end time that is not just coming, but is near. And so if it's near, all the more reason you should be going, oh, wait, I better find out if I'm a weed or a crop. Well, there's a real easy way to tell if you're a weed or a crop. What's a crop do? Produces fruit. It produces seed that can be sown again and again and again. That weed doesn't produce anything. It chokes what's next to it. It kills it off. It destroys things. But it's going to stay put, because when the time comes, because we don't want to risk those who belong to God trying to remove them out, because that's going to end up causing more calamity and judgment that we already have under us already because of religious beliefs. A bunch of religious people that think that, oh, well, you're judging us. You're judging us. No, we're loving you. You're just being convicted. That's not judging. I didn't judge you. But that's already happening. See, the battle is happening. The battle is already being waged. The war is over, but the battle is still going on. And the expansion has to happen, because land is what's important. It's a great game. I love this game. Everybody here probably hears about it all the time. But Risk is a great game. It takes time. It's a long game. Sometimes a very frustrating game. Sometimes the game ends up on the floor, flipped upside down, because people get mad because other people cheat or whatever. But the game's principle is that you, through diligence and strategy, expand your little color cubes until you occupy the world. Now, let's take this wonderful board game and implement it into a walk of our teachings that we've been going through. We have a strategy. We have a commander in the field. Our commander in chief is Jesus Christ. He's leading the way. We have a wonderful guide on not only the tactics of the enemy, but the strategies that give us victory to take the land. It's all here. It's all written out. It's all laid out. Not only is that in there, but also warning signs, things to look out for, things to watch your head on. Not only is that in there, how to dress up for battle, how to equip yourself every day. What weapons to use? Because the enemy has different tactics and different things to defend against. So what do we have? We have all that here for us. Why is it all here? Not so you can feel good. It's because you are in the battle. And if you don't figure it out soon, you're not going to expand. You're going to become a casualty. There's two options. You're either going to expand or you're going to get taken out. It doesn't fit. There's no middle ground. There's none. I didn't say there is middle ground. He does. Be either hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm or I'll spew you out of my mouth. We don't have an option, church. We have to expand. How do we expand? We need to go and make disciples. How do you make a disciple? Be a disciple. Start there. Are you one? Are you a weed or are you a crop? It's that simple. I didn't say it. I mean, I'm giving you guys the thing here that it puts it together and hopefully it makes sense, but you have to understand the difference between the two. It's not just about winning souls. There's a point to winning souls, but that's just the foundations. And as Sean came up here and told us today, you keep relaying the same foundations, you're going to have retarded growth. And that retardation in the growth, guess what that leads to? It leads to a weaker and weaker and weaker generation. And the end result of that weaker generation is Satan's going to just come and wipe you out. That's what's going to happen. We have to be responsible for harvest. That's the result of expansion. We're responsible. He gets the harvest, but we're responsible to work that field. We're responsible to sow the seed. We're responsible to expand. We're responsible to continue to spread like wildfire. It's our responsibility. He gets it all. And the reason we should be actively jumping out of our seats and going, sign me up, God, is because we love what He loves. And that is all of you and all of them. And all of Pittsburgh, and all of France, and all of Europe, and all of South Africa. Do you love them? Does your heart break when you see them being murdered in the street for standing up for what God says to stand up for? It should. It should. Because that's the enemy fighting back and taking back what people started standing up for, the kingdom. And saying, this is our ground, this is my land, not yours. And these are my people, because they're God's people, not yours, to lord over. That's what's happening in the world today, guys. I hate the news. I do. I hate it. Because it's all you see. It's all you see is how much the enemy keeps stealing and taking, and stealing and taking, and stealing and taking. And I get filled with such anger for what happens. And there's only one way to fight back. Go take the land. Make disciples. Train them so that they can go make disciples. And let that cycle perpetuate itself. It's a God design. It's not man. It's God. And God's so perfect in His way and in His will of doing things that nothing you could do can stop it. You're either going to be a part of it or you're not. You're either going to be a weed or you're going to be a crop. It's that simple. So how do we implement it? Well, the implementation of this principle goes back just a little bit. I said Matthew is an awesome book. Matthew 11, verse 12. I don't even need to say this scripture because pastors should know it by heart. As were the days with John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And how often do we misread this scripture? We've had studies. Pastors brought this out in the message and he's told us about it. He's told us about what this scripture means and how it works. And we see violent and we go, violence is bad. I don't want my kid to be seeing violence. We don't watch Tom and Jerry because they're violent. Okay, that's true. That's violent. There's violence there. I'm not going to argue there. And then we see the word force, and we get all wound up about force. Oh, wait. I don't want you forcing your beliefs on me now, you know. You're really judging me here, you know, based on what you believe. You know, I don't need you forcing that down my throat. Force. You don't understand what God's saying. You don't. If that's how you read that scripture and you read it that way, you need to meditate on that word for a long time until God really opens your eyes, because the power that is being spoken of in that one verse is so immense and gives us every single detail of how we're supposed to go through and expand. This principle of expansion, it's in this verse. It's right here. Read it. I'll help us. Because I needed help. I wasn't there. I needed help. I needed to study. I needed to dig. I need to be a Berean, just like Pastor tells us. Go, dig, seek God, find out, pray, meditate. Ask Him, reveal, show me, what is it you're saying here, God? I did. I got a lot. I could chew on it for a long time. I'm going to give us the short version because I don't have time. Ken's throwing up signs. Gang signs, too. The kingdom of God is only going to expand by force. By force. It's not going to happen from a seated position in the pew. Oh Lord, I beseech thee, come and deliver me from all of my problems. Guess what? First of all, you're beggarly. And second of all, you don't understand the kingdom of God. Because that's weak. That is a weak person. That is a weak person that the enemy is jumping at the bit to come and infiltrate his life, throw in all kinds of calamity, and get him to just walk away. God's not answering my prayers. That's because you're not going forcefully and resisting the devil. You want more. You feel like that's a great place for you to be. He's not going to yank you out of it. You got to go. Forcefully. But then there's that word violent. And that's where we get caught up. And a violent in the dictionary actually gives you some really good clarity. But the word that I really loved, I thought was a really good word, was vehemence, which is attached to the word. Now, vehement, people misconstrue. This is anger. You're really vehement. You're angry. No, that's not what vehemence means. Vehemence actually means strong, intense, passionate desire. Power. That's where it's at. The violence is power. And it's not just any power. It's dunamis power. What's dunamis power? We've had this. We've had this teaching. Pastors brought up dunamis power before. It's the Greek word for power. But what type of power is dunamis power? It is actually the power of God that is in each and every one of you right now. That's what dunamis power is. It's the power to turn around and tell a demon to take a hike and watch him flee. It's the power to turn around and say, you know what, you need Jesus Christ in your life. And they go, please, God, tell me how I need to get him in my life. It's the power of God to turn around and get your life in order so that you can set others free. Because that's the only way you're going to expand. That's how it happens. It's not by your power. It's by God's power. And the only way we're going to take anything is by His power. That's the only way. You can't do it any other way. And now we get this kind of power struggle now, because we go, oh, well, I got God's power in me. I'm Superman. Get my little curly Q on. I can turn around. I can plow right through that wall. You got problems in your life? Come here, man. Let me tell you what God says. I have the power of God in me. You don't get it. You don't get it. you're operating like the world. That's not the power of God. Because the power of God is in you doesn't mean it gives you the right to use it. See, you actually need to learn that the power of God is in you, not for you to use, but for just to let out. Just to let it out. Let it out. See, does a crop, when it sprouts up, reach its leaf up, grab its seed and go, ugh! Does it do it? Have you seen this in nature happen? I would love to see it. Because if it does, then I turn around and go, all right, well then you got justification here. Because, I mean, if that happened, I can't argue with that. It doesn't happen. What happens? A wind blows. And it carries that seed where it needs to go. That wind is the power of God. It just flows. The power of God is not something that we can force. It's something that happens. And it happens when it's the perfect time. It happens at the right reason and the right timing and for all the purposes that bring glory to God, not to you. Because if you're there, you just made a disciple of you, not of Jesus Christ. If you're there, you just created a weed. Because that person's never going to get a foundation to Jesus Christ because you cut him out. Come on. You want to know how all these religions became? That's how they happened. Because they become deities of themselves. They think they're doing what God commanded them to do. They haven't learned to actually listen. They missed the first principle. When God says to do something, then you do it. But not until. And you will be amazed. I can guarantee you, God will astound you. He will amaze you with His power when you just let Him have His way. When that happens, then you truly understand how to expand. Because guess what? It's going to happen in ways you can't believe. It's going to happen in ways that you don't understand. My father struggled with alcohol since all my years, as I've ever known. It's always been a struggle. And there's been many hurts. There's been many pains. There's been anguishes. Many people would look at me and go, well, you know, everything worked out for you. You know, you found, you know, Jesus and you got, you know, a wife that loves you and cares about you. You found family that loves and cares about you. So you really didn't need your dad. You really don't know who a father is. But, you know, things will work out. Those things will work out. God's timing. And guess what happened? The power of God worked. Not because I did anything, but because I allowed it to just permeate. I allowed it to do what it does best. It worked in my life. And supernaturally worked in his. And who gained? God gained. Not me. He doesn't come to me and go, you know, son, I'm so glad that you told me about God and you did all these things. I'm forever grateful to you. If they say that to you, you messed up. They should be forever grateful to God. They're his crop, not yours. And if we're expanding our kingdom, you're working for the enemy. You're no better than he is. You're starting your own thing. You're starting your own world. You're making your own walk. You're doing it your way. That's bad news. That's real bad news. We got to be real careful about this principle because this principle is very easy for us to be blindsided by the enemy. It's so simple for us to go and expand our way and expand our things and expand our vision and our things that we want and we desire. Pastor was so terrified that he was expanding a work that wasn't God's that he was forever grateful that we found a network that said, no, you're not crazy. We all believe the same thing here too. And we do it. And we now link arms with brothers and sisters that share exactly what we believe. By doing that one work, which was being obedient to the power of God that was working in another man, in Barry, and Barry didn't do anything, he just followed God. The power of God worked in Barry to bring us into a harvest. And now we have more crop that can be yielded. The crop goes all in one barn. At the end of the time, when this is all said and done, and those weeds are burned up, the sheep are separated from the goats, all that stuff goes down, and there's going to be tears, there's going to be sadness, it's not going to be a fun day. But the end result is it all goes into one barn. It goes into God's barn. And we have a big job to do. And we cry out, oh, well, God, you know, we need more workers. We need more workers. Start working. Because the workers aren't going to come unless you're working, because they don't know how to do it. That's a disciple. I'm a disciple. Guess what I'm doing? I'm working. And you want to know what happens when I get a disciple? He's not going to see me sitting around on my laurels going, okay, well, now you go and do it all. I did it all. No, I'm going to keep working with him because I want him to be better. And see, that same message has been permeated over and over and over again. Are you going to be like, or are you going to be better than? Because the generation should not be retarding, and they should not be staying still. They should be better and better and better. And this expansion, guess what? It's not just you that needs to expand. We all need to expand, right? We need to expand. How do we expand? We need more God, right? Is the power of God strong enough in you that you walk around and people just come to your knees and go, please, I know God's in you, I need him. Has that happened? You need more. You need to expand. Well, okay, that's expansion. All right, well, then I'll start doing that. But that's not all. What about your kids? How are you expanding your family? Are your kids coming to you and asking to pray? Are your kids coming to you and asking for you to read them the Bible? Are your kids coming to you and asking for understanding and clarification? Is what God's saying to them? Are your kids coming to you and giving you prophecies and visions? Because guess what? That's expansion. Because that's the next generation. And then we go and we say, what about the other expansion? The other expansion is, what about you and you and you and you and you? Where are my disciples? I'm not talking about pastor. He's got his. Where are my disciples? I'm waiting for somebody to stand up. Where are my disciples? Where are they? Come on. What do you want? Do you want to be a disciple or not? I know Dan, he's being discipled by pastor. Sean's being discipled by pastor. I'm being discipled by pastor. Holly, Ed, they're being discipled. There are people here that aren't being discipled by somebody. Do you want to be a disciple? Do you want to be that next generation? Do you want to have dunamis power? Do you want to have a crop? Do you want to actually expand? Or do you want to stay still? Because if we don't even have it here, how are we going to do it out there? How are we going to do it? We come in here and we see a whole bunch of people just, oh, well, pastor just pours out to them and, you know, oh, they're a cult or, well, they have cliques. You know, pastor only has his favorites. I might be pastor's disciple, but I'm interested in mine. That's what I want. And if they're not here, guess where I'm going? I'm getting them. I'm getting them. Not because I'm prideful and I need my disciples. Oh, yeah, you know, I need my clan because pastor's got his after all. Oh, my clan's going to be bigger than pastor's. Hope so. Not because I want to. Not because that's what I want. It's because that's what God tells me to do. The bottom line is all this falls right back down to the major, major ploy of what God gave us, the Great Commission. Go, make disciples, laying on hands, baptizing them, telling them and training them in the way that they should go. We have a responsibility. This is the Great Commission. It's not to be taken lightly. It's a long walk. It's a hard process. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of work that we need. We have to start on the foundation of Jesus Christ, but we are responsible to build something. And that building better house enough for you to carry those disciples to the next generation so that they can go and build bigger and greater. Not talking about building mega churches. I'm talking about building the kingdom of God. And the only way it's going to build, the only way it's going to happen, is if we go and make those disciples. It's that simple. It may seem so simple, and you're going, wow, that's really simple. That's all I got to do? Yeah, but don't do it wrong. That's what this was about. I could have stopped it the first day. I could have stopped and said, oh, here's the Great Commission. Here you go. Do it. But God didn't say to stop there. God said, I don't want them doing it wrong. I want them to actually know what the kingdom is and how it needs to be implemented into each and every one of our lives so that we don't walk different. We walk the same. This isn't streams. This isn't a Presbyterian movement. This isn't a Catholic movement. This isn't any of those. This is a Kingdom of God movement. And the Kingdom of God is now. And so, guess what? If it's now, then we have every more reason to be anxious to get up and go and get those disciples and train them and teach them so that they can go and get more and more and more. This is what it's about. And I was serious. I'm really asking. I'm not being, a joker. I really want to know. Because I know there's people here that aren't being discipled. And they should be. Because how are you going to expand? You can't. You cannot expand until you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. You're not my disciple. I'm just simply a vessel of that same entity that was given to me. Jesus Christ came through pastor into me. I became a disciple of Jesus Christ just like him. And now guess what? I'm looking for mine. I want to spread. I want to expand. I want Jesus Christ disciples all around me. I'm not satisfied. And neither should you. Amen? Amen. We're in this together. Come on, stand up. Hallelujah, Father God. Lord God, I thank you, God, that you were so awesome and so ever-present, God, omniscient, God, and all-knowing and all-powerful, God, that, Lord, you laid it all out from the beginning to the end, God. You've given us parables, God, to reveal your kingdom to us, God. You've shown us the way. You've given us teaching after teaching, God, and training us and showing us how to listen, God, how to love, how to build, how to maintain, how to expand, God. And you then gave us this wonderful Great Commission, God, to go and make disciples, God. And Lord God, we know, because we carry it as our banner, God, that they will know that we are your disciples, God, by the love that we have for one another, God. That's why we're all standing here today, God. Because we love each other, God. And we don't love each other, God, in that iffy kind of love, God, but we really, truly, deeply, in our hearts, God, love each other. And I know that each one standing here today loves me and loves you, God. And so we're standing today, God, declaring to you today, God, that we are going to go and we are going to make disciples, God, and we are not going to relent until you come. Amen. And you call us out of here, God, and you get that harvest that you are so willingly deserving for, God.
Yes, Father.
Because we are your kids, God. We are your children, God, and we will carry that same love that you have for each of us standing here today, for each and every one in every nation, God. Because they're all your children, God. And we will not be satisfied, God, until all have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, God, and become your disciple.
Yes.
Jesus, yours. Built on you, God. That is our mission. That is our goal. That is our plan, because that is your plan and that is your goal, God. And we are ready and willing to do that which you've commanded us to do, God. So I'm praying, Holy Spirit, grab them today, God. Grab them, Holy Spirit. Snatch them up. Start going and paving the way, Holy Spirit, Pave that way. Lead us, direct us to where you want us to go, because we are not satisfied with Williamstown anymore. We're ready to move on. You've given us a home, God, and you're going to fill it, God.
Thank you.
And Lord God, you're giving us another home, God, and you're going to fill that, God. And you're already planning 7, 10, 30, 60, 100 fold, God, down the road, Lord. And you're going to fill each and every one of those.
Amen.
Because they all belong to you, God. They all belong to you. We declare it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.